What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
O'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon hanging out with you for another hour. Don't forget, you can hang out with us on Thursday and Friday. We'll be out and about. Thursday, we'll be at Rally House, Barry Woods Crossing location. There's only one place fans can count on for the best selection of Chiefs merchandise, and that is Rally House. Make sure you go to rallyhouse.com. Also, come by, say hello, Barry Woods Crossing on Thursday, and then on Friday.
Yeah, we'll be at a Community America where they'll have a Red Friday tailgate, simply put, from 11 to 1, thanks to Community America, 9060 Northwest Skyview Avenue. Free food to the first 100 people, photos with Chiefs cheerleaders and Casey Wolf, plus a chance to open up their big ATM. That's where you could score some Chiefs gear or win tickets to the upcoming Chiefs home game against the Eagles. So, like, if you don't have your ticket for this Sunday at 325 against Philadelphia, you have a chance to win those this Friday at Community America Credit Union. We'll be up there from 11 to 1 for a Red Friday tailgate this Friday.
Nate Taylor from ESPN joining us in studio, fresh off a trip from Brazil. Let's just start there. We'll get to the game. Don't worry.
Sure.
How is the whole experience going to Brazil? You've gone to, what, two or three of these international games now?
Yeah, I've been to three of them now. Frankfurt a couple years ago, and then Mexico City. Before last week's bonanza, that was the longest I had been for a international game. I flew on Tuesday.
Oh wow!
Flew on Tuesday.
You were there for like a week.
Yeah,
it's not quite.
So I got to cover both teams because ESPN only sent one reporter, and so I was the one who got the short end or the better end, depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
It was quite the experience. I'm happy they did it. I'm happy that I couldn't answer everybody's question, but I was one of the first reporters to be there Friday, like early afternoon in Corinthians Arena. And, I took some videos and it's like, hey, I'm going to be on sports.
Yeah, how long did it take you to get there? Because people were complaining about the bus ride stuff.
I just told Spectre, Disney has resources, guys. So I had a personal driver.
Ooh la la.
Which was a smart move,
Disney.
Yes, yeah. So Disney International got involved because ESPN does have ESPN Brazil, which is cool. Like I think they have five channels in Brazil, ESPN.
Wow. So
there was like ESPN Cinco, like legitimate, like,
okay,
and I was like, is this where the Ocho comes from?
Yeah.
So, Brazil is obviously the hub of Central America for Disney. ESPN has its own sort of department, both in Rio and in Sao Paulo. So, yeah, I got a personal driver. It took 90 minutes, guys.
It still took 90 minutes.
It was the briskest 90 minutes I could ask for, considering that my colleagues who were transported via the NFL took 3.5 hours.
That's insane.
From the hotel to the stadium.
Is this just like, Sao Paulo is like one of the
five biggest cities in the world,
yes,
right?
Like, right. So it's the sixth biggest, I believe. Yeah.
So it's a massive city. I know that, but I'm still trying to figure out, are there no interstates there? What's the deal?
No, there's highways. Okay. There's highways, guys. I think, you know, this is where, depending on your perspective of history and geography, like, they built the roads in a certain way, in a certain manner, where it's like...
The wrong manner, it sounds like.
It's not like, you know, we're envisioning this as if there's going to be 20 million people just in and around.
Yeah.
That this is going to be like the biggest monetary capital of South America. I mean, one of the biggest things was, you know, when you learn this from like, hey, why do Brazilians prefer and speak Portuguese? Well, it's like, well, there's all this history involved in it. And they have more space than previously, you know, from our gentlemen from the East, I guess, in Europe. So when you go through all of this, you're like, okay, well, we knew this would be something. We didn't think it was going to be this big. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It is overrun. And I mean this legitimately. It's overrun by people on motorcycles who are absolutely abandoning all sense of logic.
Safety.
Concern for others, let alone themselves. And so, like, it's probably not built in a way to hold 20 million people, let alone, like, the airport's not particularly close. Corinthians Arena, I was told, was built in an area that was, you know, not developed because why would there be people here? Well, All of a sudden, there's more people here. And I'm sorry, what, we're hosting the World Cup? Yeah. We need to build a great stadium. We need to build an awesome stadium, but it's not in downtown. It's not in the suburbs. Hell, it's not even in the slums, you could argue. So it takes a while when you put those things together and to get anywhere of decent distance. And when I mean decent distance, ladies and gentlemen, from my hometown in Kansas City, I mean 10 miles.
Jeez.
10 miles takes literally an hour. It's worse than New York City.
Oh man, that's bad.
Yeah, so you have to be very precise. And thankfully, I planned enough and had plenty of resources on my own to get me to and from places where I never felt like I was either A, lost, or B, late. I was on time, but at the same time, I mean, you got to get up early. You got to be prepared. We are not going. It's one of those places where we not going back to the hotel, guys. It's once we leave this door, we ain't coming back here until whatever time it is at night. Excellent vibe. Brazilian people are extremely exuberant and very welcoming, and they love football. I think I came away from the Germany experience being like, yeah, this makes sense. This really makes sense. Like, hey, this was nice. Even though it's Frankfurt and everybody's like, why are you in Frankfurt? It's like, oh, it's okay. Hey, they're going to have games in Munich. They're going to have games in Frankfurt. Hey, it's all good. Dog, when I tell you these people in Brazil, who they know football, man, they were thirsty in a good way. Let's just say that. Real thirsty in the best way possible. And so I don't know if you could tell via TV/YouTube on Friday, but these people were really knowledgeable. They're very into the game. They know how to, you know, crescendo and decrescendo. It didn't feel like Mexico City where it was just noise. And it was just like, we can't wait for the kickers and the punters, you know? Like, I think Brazil is a great gateway for South America's connection to the NFL. And honestly, they should be playing games in Rio. They should be playing games in, Sao Paulo continuously. I know they got another, two, three more games there. They should be playing more games there than Germany.
Let's talk about the team on the field. Obviously, the bad news was Xavier Worthy getting knocked out on the third play.
Yep.
Look, I'm going to point out what everybody knows at this point. When Andy says day by day, that could mean a minute or a year. and as much as that very much frustrates me, and I think you could just be honest about an injury, is there a chance he plays in the next month?
Yeah.
Is there a chance he plays this Sunday? Where is the minimum timeline of this injury for Xavier Worthy?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody, my good friend Cody Tapp asked me, is it possible for him to play this month between now and October? October 10th, right? So if I'm clicking on these tabs and looking at the schedule, okay, could he play by Monday night against Jacksonville week five, 1 week, you know, basically 2 weeks before Rasheed Rice come back.
It's possible. It's possible.
Is that the earliest timeline?
Now, you asked me about Sunday against Philadelphia.
I had some, and I only asked this, I swear to you, because when I came on here yesterday and, like, made fun of Andy Reid for doing what he does, which is like, day by day. He's in a grouchy mood because they lost and air travel or whatever.
Correct.
So, like, Andy, and I was like, they're like, he's not on the IR yet. He could play on Sunday. I'm like, get the hell out of here. They he don't, is you not, can, they not can, playing on Sunday, in my opinion. But, you, like, I don't know.
I mean, we're in week two, so let's just remind everybody how, like, roster mechanisms and roster management works. You could take it all the way up to Sunday if you really wanted to before you place him on IR. Most teams could do it on a Friday. Hey, he didn't practice all of this week. That means we had a whole week of preparing our team for this upcoming opponent. We get more information with the medical staff, with the training staff. Again, maybe have a conversation or two with the player. Hey, here are the risks. Here are the, you know, your risk profile goes up if you don't get on IR. You could be available, but you'll be in like a limited role. We might have to put you on a snap restriction, Or you could take the 4 weeks and we can reevaluate it when you are, you know, designated to return to practice. They could take this all the way. I mean, logically, they could take it all the way up to Sunday.
If he's going to wait 4 weeks, just put him on IR. Give yourself the roster spot. I don't know. Sign McColl. Do whatever you got to do to get through a month.
But you could also, and I don't know if this is going to happen. Again, this is sort of hypothetical, ladies and gentlemen. But, like, you know, there's been discussions about, like, hey, how do we stabilize the shoulder? Well, there's a number of ways you could do that. Do you want to see what it's like, you know, in a walkthrough? You know, maybe we, you know, put you out there for practice. But, you know, they have morning walkthroughs, and you can do your own individual workouts at the team's training facility. So, hey, maybe we put you in a – maybe on, like, Thursday. Again, this is all hypothetical, ladies and gentlemen. Let's say on Thursday we put you in some sort of harness or some way of trying to stabilize. Because at that point, hey, you're almost a week away from when the game happened. Maybe the swelling goes down, I am not a doctor. I am not an athletic trainer. I'm just trying to give you a possible scenario. Maybe we have you run out there. Obviously, it's not going to be contact, but we have you run out there. Was it like changing directions, starting and slowing and starting? Like, how do you feel? Do you feel comfortable? Can you envision yourself playing in this sort of environment, conditions, whatever, 3 weeks from now? Because that would be the deciding point. Is like, if you feel like you can play 3 weeks from now, then okay, maybe we can carry you. Obviously, you're going to be inactive for the next week or two. You practice that third week. Maybe you come back and play. Or if this doesn't feel right now, or, hey, the chance of you getting hurt and your season being over is obviously at a higher percentage, then, yeah, let's just take a deep breath. It's unfortunate. It sucks. You go on IR. We look back at this, you know, 4 weeks later, and then we can kind of make a determination, because when you are designated to return, you basically get a 21-week window to get ready for your return.
Offensively, as we're talking with Nate Taylor here from ESPN, offensively, we were trying to figure out, like, how much do they now have to shift back to the mindset of what they were doing last year, which I know was a frustrating watch at times offensively, but are we going to expect seeing more, you know, multiple tight end sets? Are we going to, you know, are they going to lean into the running game a little more? I only ran it 11 times against the Chargers, but Pacheco only had 5 carries.
Yep.
Or do they, like, is it going to be like kind of an offense that worked at times, but it's going to be a frustrating watch, and that's what it's going to take to win on Sunday?
Do you the thing that I think everyone has to acknowledge is that was one game. It was a potential outlier in Sao Paulo for all the certain reasons. Again, on your third play, the entire game plan blew up.
Yeah, you're scripted. All of it
is cooked. Like, when I rewatch the game, and I've done it multiple times, it really takes me about the fourth drive to be like, oh, okay, right personnel group, right for the down and distance, right for the play call.
They scored on their final 5 drives?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mahomes was incredible in the second half.
I'm glad you said that, too, because
incredible.
Like, somebody tried to fight us on the text line yesterday, too. I'm like, we were watching a different football game. You do not think he was amazing in that game.
I thought in the moment that I was like, you know, because I've watched all these games, guys, and so hopefully people appreciate, like, the perspective and the insight and the analysis. But in the moment when, okay, you've clearly made a decision to send a message to that poor Chargers cornerback. And I'm like, okay, well, that's going to ratchet this up a little bit more. And I just remember being like, am I being hyperbolic out here? Like, is what I'm putting on Twitter, in another country? Is that going to translate to an American Kansas City Chiefs fan audience? But I was just like, guys, that's one of the greatest drives he's ever had. And it was, I mean, he was just incredible in the second half. So beyond that and the worthy situation, it's 1 week. Half the league lost. Like,
yeah,
it's okay. So the question now becomes, what's the clearest path towards victory? And by the way, it's against a really good team in the Eagles, who may or may not have their best defensive player. Still waiting on that.
Yeah, what's the verdict on that? Florio said that suspension was still on the table, but he's wrong about 70% of the time. So I didn't want to bank on the 30% of the time he gets it right.
The league usually lets you know by Wednesday, you know, for planning purposes.
Right around now, right around end of the day, like 3 o'clock. Yeah. They don't usually wait till 8 o'clock at night.
That, again, they can wait till Wednesday because, again, you got to involve the player association. You got to involve the player. Like, I don't know if there's an appeal process. It's on video. Wild behavior, sir. So, again, we'll see if they have their best defensive. He's so good.
And I don't like the matchup with him and Kinsley.
It's terrible.
It horrifies
you. Yes.
Can I ask a question about
what is the clearest path towards victory?
Yes. This is where, like, this is my issue with where they're going to end up on the offensive line is. I think we all know one fact about the team right now, which is Jalen Moore is one of the five best offensive linemen. He might be better than both the left guard and the right tackle. And I don't know how long we're going to ignore that fact. My issue is that what we saw in that Chargers game is what every team is going to do against the Chiefs for a while, which is they're going to take their best pass rusher inside on Kinsley.
On third down.
And they're going to let
Fourth down, if you're Khalil Mack.
And they're going to, and that's going to be the book until he stops it. Teams are going to take whoever their pass rusher is, and they're going to move him inside and say, and it's going to be Kinsley one-on-one. We're going to isolate.
Not great.
And I don't like that that's on paper now as like a potential way of getting after the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, how long on Jalen Moore is that Juwan Taylor can't have 17 penalties a game and Kinsley can't get beat bad multiple times a game.
What I told some friends Monday, Sunday, it was just like, guys, he had 4 penalties and it felt normal.
Yeah, it didn't seem.
It's not an abnormal performance. He had 4 penalties, and it felt normal. It just felt like, yep, this is the team I've watched. Beyond his own physical issues with the knee. Now, again, I don't know if that played a role. Again, it's the first game of the season. Less excuses. But yeah, he had 4 penalties. Jesse Minter decided about the third quarter once he saw that Mahomes went into utter
destroyer
of worlds mode that he was like, well, the best path towards the quarterback is through the left guard. So, all right, Khalil, you're our best defensive lineman. I'll structure it in a way that, like, Josh Simmons has to do something. You know, Creed Humphrey at center has to do something so that it gives you a one-on-one chance to sort of use your experience and your physical just freak athleticism to get around an inexperienced left guard. Now you involve Jalen Carter, who does not care, who is absolutely fresh, if not suspended. Yeah, the easiest path towards winning is, man, nobody wants to hear this, is run the dang ball.
Mm-hmm.
Run it. Run the ball. I don't know if people acknowledge this or realize this. Forget the stats, guys. The question I'll ask you and the audience is, and again, I've rewatched this game several times, is what's the best running play they had in the first half? Because it's not technically
Mahomes
on the box
score. Mahomes is their best runner still.
Well, that's true. I'm saying designed runs.
Oh, it was probably like a weirdo handoff to a wide receiver or something.
They did try that with Xavier Worthy.
Didn't work out.
Because Khalil Mack was like, I watch tape, guys. The best running play they had, and you can fuck this up. Actually, I'm going to do
it
right now.
It's going to be depressing.
It's when Patrick is like, you know, a little helter-skelter, a little, I won't say jittery, but like clearly like crap. My offensive game plan is cooked because, okay, we do not have Xavier Worthy. All right, so what am I supposed to do? I don't know. I'm going to throw it short to Hollywood Brown on 1st and 10 from our own 42 after our defense got a 3-and-out deep in the Chargers' own end. Guys, that's an interception. And for whatever reason, Jim Harbaugh didn't want to take the risk of saying, and I wonder if people forget this, Hollywood Brown kind of stops on the route, kind of doesn't think the ball's coming there. I'm sorry, sir, you're the number one receiver now. So the DB dives for the ball. It looks like an interception. They slowed the replay. Their best running play was hurry it up and give the ball to Kareem Hunt so they can't challenge it. That's their best running play. If that went for 1 yard, because they were so worried about, and if you remember, the play is on the Chiefs sideline, so they have a better
vantage point
in the moment to see like, ooh, that might be closer than we want. Let's hurry this up, run the ball. Don't let Jim Harbaugh have a chance to challenge.
We got Nate Taylor from ESPN hanging out with us. All right, we could spend another hour talking about the offense. I want to make sure we get to the defense, though, a little bit, and what you saw out of that group, and see if you kind of agree with just our assessment of what went on Friday night. For me, I'm far more concerned about the defensive side of the ball, even though Steve Spagnuolo has a track record of getting a defense to come along as the season goes on, and I think it will get better. How much of what we saw Friday was miscommunication, dudes just running into each other, therefore guys were wide open, Ladd McConkey's out here winning on 30% of his routes? How much was it that, or is there a serious personnel issue that you actually think exists here, and it's, you know, whether it's Christian Fulton not playing, among others? Because it seemed like a lot of this was communication and guys were just in wrong spots throughout the night.
Yes, everything you said, Alex, is true. Great assessment. Will not argue it. There are times in the game from a defensive back linebacker vantage point where it looks like, have you guys practiced? Like the legitimate question is, hey, I know you guys played a handful of snaps in the preseason, and that's fine. Totally fine. But you guys practice, right? Like, y'all practice. Y'all had a whole game plan that y'all practiced before you got on the plane. And there were moments where it's like, no, it's a bootleg. Like, that's in a John Harbaugh offense. Like, yeah, of course he's going to roll out. Like, are you not aware that the tight end could do that? There's so many times where Trip McDuffie's like, I got him. Why are you in my way? Literally, why is my teammate in my way? I have Ladd McConkey. So many people are on Twitter being like, oh my God, Justin Herbert missed Ladd McConkey being wide open. Yeah, it's because Jaden Hicks literally runs into Trip McDuffie. And you're like, you guys practiced, right? You guys practiced. Now, personnel-wise, they got to make a decision. And I know I'm not the first person saying this. And again, Steve Spagnuolo, by and large, does not care in September. September is his way of experimenting.
That's what's so weird about the last 2 years is that his team's gotten off to a much quicker start on defense the
last
2 years.
Correct. And part of that is they had better pass rush. And they weren't going up against a division rival that knew them inside and out. And so they didn't put anything, my understanding is they didn't really put anything on tape that was like super duper exotic. Hey, last year, Chamari Conner was in the slot. Guess what, guys? Chamari Conner's in the slot. Hey, you know, Trip McDuffie, when we want to, he can be on somebody. All right, well, there he is. We want him to be on Ladd McConkey. Good luck finding the other option. Now, credit to Justin Herbert, who found Johnson a couple times, you know, winning his routes one-on-one, most notably against Jaden Hicks. I don't think the best path towards winning is Chamari Conner in the slot. Right. So now that means Christian Fulton, sorry, bud, you got to practice. You're a professional. You make starter money, time to start. Like, again,
I thought that was the most telling thing Andy said in his entire press conference.
Yes.
It's not just the health. He's got to get the defense down.
And you got to practice. So kind of matters. Now, he had his procedure in the offseason. It's fine. Veteran status. We get it. But you're 0-1. So it's time to get on the field. I thought Jalen Watson was actually pretty good by and large. Trent McDuffie, excellent. But miscommunication, safety play was a little bit left to be desired. Stop running into your own guys like you don't know how to practice or prepare for. It's a route combination. You know that they're in a stack bunch slot, right?
I feel like if you tell me there's a lot of things that need to be corrected, but if that portion gets correct, like if you just tell me that they don't run into each other on Sunday against the Eagles, I think it's going to look a lot better for a team that's really good.
They did a lot of running into each other.
Yes.
Offense and defense. Have you guys run routes?
Again.
Covered routes?
You guys. Bizarre. You guys practice, right? You guys practice this week. Like, I'm pretty sure you did that. Hey, man, it's the opening script. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. It's the first 15. Those are the plays they practice, you could argue, the most. How do you run into your own teammate? How? Like, hey, I know Derwin James, good defender. Got it. I know he's in press coverage. That's the play that you want. You got him. They're in man coverage. You got a man-beating play. Kelce's supposed to be a big enough body to let Xavier Worthy go to work in a man-to-man matchup. You know he already faster than the other guy. He going to be open. He's going to get plenty of yards after the catch. The only thing that could screw this up is immediate pressure, which kind of happened because Kingsley was on the field. And your tight end taking out the guy he's setting up the pick for? How does that happen?
Nate, so does this land in the – this is what I love about these teams. Does the – all this stuff keeps happening and then we see the infighting. Is it holding each other accountable or losing composure with each other? So when Drew Tranquil yells at Chris Jones and when Travis Kelce gets in the ass of Juwan Taylor, what are we categorizing these as? Or is it dependent on how much winning you do after?
Yes, 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 yes. I would put these in two different categories. The accountability portion goes largely to Travis Kelce also realizing we stink. And you know what? We can't afford to go backwards. Hey, dude, wake up! Like, that's basically what he did. Hey, man, can you wake up? Like, now it's funny that YouTube captured that real quick and was like, put it in front of everybody. Thank you, YouTube. They could get better at some of the broadcasting stuff, but that's neither here nor there. The other category is what happened at the end of the game. That is, well, we don't really have much left in the game, so I can lose my composure right now. And dude, you can't do that. You can't. You can't.
That's why Chris owned it. It was just
yes, of course he knows. Yes. Yeah. But like, have we ever seen Drew Tranquil lose his mind on the field? Like, no. That is a guy who lost his composure because there is no more composure to keep. Like, all right, let's just have it out right now because we know we're not getting the ball back. How in the world do we just let this man scramble for 14 yards? I did my job. Why don't you do yours? You know, so... I would put it in more of that category. And of course, Chris is like, I'm great. Which, to be fair, great point. I can't, no one can argue with that. I'm great. They were sending triple teams at me and no one was winning their one-on-ones on a consistent basis.
And they gave me a one-on-one and I
won immediately because I just created pressure. But
won the wrong way.
Yep. And look, give credit to Justin Herbert, who understands. I think he understands both pre-snap and post-snap. If you watch the all 22 of that last 3rd and 14, oh, they got me. Ooh, oh boy, they got. Oh my God, he's gonna tackle me, or he's gonna sack me, and that's why he ran. Now give him credit for realizing as he's getting the ball. Ooh, ain't nobody gonna be open. So I gotta go into creation mode. I definitely know Mahomes is on the sideline ready to strap it up to do it to us again. And you're telling me Chris Jones is right in my face? Nah, dog, I can't go down like that. So give the quarterback credit. But at the same time, I think that was the quickest a defensive lineman won his one-on-one in the entire game.
Figures.
So again, hey, I'm great, but also you can't do that, man. We had everybody covered. This is the one time where we had everybody covered. That's all we had to do. We don't need immediate pressure. It's not 3rd and 3. It's 3rd and 14. And he's like, but I'm great.
Nate Taylor from ESPN. I want to ask you about what we saw on Sunday night, obviously, as well with the Ravens and Bills. Just some other performances, how we're feeling about the rest of the AFC. That's coming up next year.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Cody and Gold. Continuing to talk about the NFL week one in the books, Nate Taylor from ESPN joining us fresh off the trip there in Brazil. We spent a good chunk of time talking about the Chiefs and what they're going to look like hopefully on Sunday, and also Nate's perspective on the Xavier Worthy injury. But I do want to see what you make of what we saw elsewhere in the NFL. Obviously, let's just start in division with the Denver Broncos. They were taking on a rookie quarterback in Cam Ward. I think that game was closer than people thought it would be. Bo Nix was not impressive at all. They won the football game. That's what matters. Their defense looked pretty damn good. But anything you saw from there, Bo Nix, everybody's wondering, is there another level to his game? And at least it's 1 week. It's 1 week. That was not his best stuff.
Nope.
He looked bad.
He looked like... Again, but he was bad at the start of last season. Sure. So I understand it's like, all right.
Yeah, but the whole like Broncos are a real contender thing was based on the idea that Bo Nix was going to get better.
So maybe, again, maybe it takes half of this season before, you know, he takes the necessary steps to show real improvement. Look, guys, I know the schedule is the schedule. But the Raiders look good.
They got a competent quarterback.
The Raiders look good. Dog, every time I was on Red Zone, I was like, look at Brock Bowers. Oh, he's got a real quarterback. Brock Bowers. I love that dude. He's so good.
He's the best tight end.
So good.
Injury scare, but it looks like he's going to be fine.
Yeah. So, like, the Patriots are like, do they know they only have to guard one person this entire game? But the Raiders look competent and good. We know the Chargers were borderline playoff team, so I don't know if we learned anything new about them other than, hey, they came out more focused and made less mistakes than you did. So
yeah.
If they do that the majority of their games this season, they're going to be in the playoffs. Now, it's hard to evaluate the Broncos defense because they were playing a rookie quarterback making his opening debut. He has literally no one to throw the ball to. Even Calvin Ridley, I'm just like, I'm over it. I don't need to see anymore. I'm out.
1,000 yards last year with Will Levis. I kind of thought he was in for a decent
year. Did you see Kim Ward's dad?
Yes. I felt the same way.
Like, come on, man.
Like, come on, bro. Like, my son is, it's the first game. Catch the ball, dog. So, yeah. We also got to tell Pop, hey, Pop.
You can't be doing that. You really
say Saturdays no more.
You really can't. That's not going to go over well in the locker room eventually. It's like the Odell Beckham Jr. dad thing all over again.
Unless it wasn't Avery Johnson's dad.
True,
brother.
True. Hey, Pop.
Let me
talk to you real quick. Hey, dog. I love the passion. You got to hold that in until you're out of the stands, right? So I felt, but it's so funny. It's like, God, that's such a dad reaction because I feel the same way. I'm like, man, he's kind of keeping them in the game and he's showing why he was the number one pick, but it's a team game. You got to get help from your teammates. I both was disgusted and thoroughly enjoyed Sunday Night Football. Like, disgusted because I was like, how are these two teams this bad on defense? Like, how?
I have questions about the Bills defense going into the year. They obviously had some problems
there.
But the Ravens defense was the one. Maybe that's just Josh Allen torching you. But the Ravens struggled more than I thought they would.
Right. It was also a little bit of the same kind of Chief stuff, like mental mistakes, not getting pressure with four, And so once the comeback happens, you're like, well, this is cooked, guys. Because I think one thing we all forget on opening week is the defense takes a little longer if the offense is run by a good quarterback, has a decent coach, and has plenty of skill position players, you're chasing people in a way that you haven't chased anybody for 6 months. And those snaps add up at a higher rate than they would in, say, week four, because you've gotten used to the rhythm of the season. But as soon as that fumble happened with Derrick Henry, I said, oh, no. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Kyle Hamilton been running out there for 3 hours.
He was awesome in the game.
He was awesome. Yeah. But, like, good luck. Like, hey, 80 snaps, guys. Good luck. Like, any defense who plays more than the usual 60 snaps on opening day, I'm like, ooh, buddy, I hope you got a good bench because everybody's going to be tired. And you got to chase that dude around. Who can, like, you know, just do marvelous things. It was both a great game, but I was also, like, disgusted as a defense. I was like, how can either of these two teams, who we all consider good, give up 40 and 41 points? How? Because the quarterbacks are awesome, but we see that on a week-to-week basis where they're like,
yeah,
hey.
We knew that.
Yeah, Josh Allen, Lamar, we all expect that. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
We expect
first and second for MVP last year for a reason.
Right. Mm-hmm. Both of them are awesome. It sucks that Derrick Henry literally turned the clock back and then give credit to Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver was like, the only chance we have to beat you is if we just punch the ball out. And it was a great play. So I think for the AFC, I don't know if we learned a ton. Who should
Chiefs fans say, but in general, most concerned about in a good way, like what team are you just like, oh gosh, they don't have what team in there?
I'm a little concerned about Cincinnati.
Okay.
Now I also know that's a divisional opponent. It's not every day that you're going to see Myles Garrett healthy week one at home, just wrecking shop.
Their offensive line was getting roughed up again.
Yeah. So I mean, as much as Chiefs fans have concerns about their own offensive line, that are all warranted. Joe Burrow gonna have to do it again, guys. Now give them credit. Their kicker made the kicks. Cleveland's kicker didn't. But I'm a little concerned about Cincinnati from their standpoint, thinking they could be a riser.
Is Mike McDaniel going to get fired in 4 weeks? Or are the Dolphins going to surprise everybody and beat the Patriots on Sunday?
Patriots also had a really rough week one.
Yeah, but that's because they're a new team, new coach, second-year quarterback. I mean, again, who is he throwing to? That game's at home, I think, for Miami.
It is at home.
Oh, my God. They better win. The team we may have learned about the most was the Colts.
Daniel Jones.
Hey, I mean, I knew Tyler Warren was going. Tyler Warren looks good. He looks really good. I knew this, but hey, good to know.
I think no way Daniel Jones didn't play that way and not meet someone at a crossroads and sell his soul to the devil. Like, have I been watching the same Daniel Jones?
I'm like, what happened? Yeah, one team looks like the season started, and the other team looks despondent. Oh, like, good Lord. Like, how do you not? There was some insane stat that, like, Tyreek Hill hasn't had a reception over, 20 or is it over 10 or 20 yards? In, like, God knows however many months. And I was like, wait, what? Like, but Tua's played the majority of those games still. So they can't get the ball to Tyreek Hill. We don't need to get into what happened with him today. But, my goodness. On the NFC, guys, it's over. Season's over. Simulate this thing to
championship. You're on board with the Packers, huh?
Of course I am. Simulate this.
Good.
Tell me where the game's at on championship weekend. Tell me where it's at. Is it in Lambeau or is it in Lincoln?
It's in Tampa.
Come on. Stop.
Nate, that's
just stop.
No, it's going to be in Lambeau. It's going to be in Lambeau against Tampa.
Stop. Why?
That was his original preseason pick. I will say, their wide receiver is good.
And Vuka, and then they're going to still get Godwin back later.
They do. They got
weapons.
I got Mbuka in my fantasy team. Jeez. And I was like, you know what? Let me just see it for a week. Guys, that was a mistake. He's so good.
He's awesome.
Been waiting a week.
Yep.
Starting in the I gotta
start him immediately on my fantasy football team. So the funny thing is, if I see Baker Mayfield in a championship game, all congrats to this man. Now, look, we've seen Stan Humphries in a championship game. We've seen Jim Harbaugh. Like, I can go through all the 90s. Chandler with the Falcons.
Chuck Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've seen it. But, like, okay, you tell me without Liam Cohen, with that skill group, Todd Bowles not going to make some crazy decision?
Oh, I don't trust him.
In a divisional game?
No. I just think the good news is that division stinks.
Right. The best path
forward. And they just beat the second best team in the division And it was in their house.
I would give you a Reels Punchers chance, Alex, if Green Bay Packers didn't exist.
Oh, Green Bay's my Super Bowl pick. But
I still think Philly is a phenomenal roster. And they're still trading for people, which is crazy.
Right.
I still think Philly has an insane roster. If they don't spit on the opponent. Well, half the defense is Vic Fangio. The other half is we have Jalen Carter. Good luck.
For sure.
So maybe. The North's going to be a fascinating division.
Detroit going to be all right? It was just.
No.
Are you worried about it?
No, I'm worried. I'm worried because I know who the better coach is between that hated rivalry of Green Bay and Minnesota. I know who the better coach is. You know?
Yeah.
If I'm counting on those two coaches, LaFleur and KLC, I still think KLC is the best coach in the
industry. He's awesome.
He's incredible.
Yeah. We both had him in our top five. Yeah. We made our list.
And if McCarthy if he develops at that rate because he has such a good coaching staff, infrastructure, Justin Jefferson, like, let's give him all the credit in the world. Buddy, I don't know. It's going to be that's a great division because Chicago could be better this year for all intents and purposes. It's just they happen to play the best mid-game adjustment coach in the league. I was thinking about that last night. I was like, what coach could get the rookie who just threw a pick six into playing his absolute butt off in the fourth quarter? I was like, who could do that in the NFC beyond KOC? Like, that was marvelous coaching. In terms of play calling, getting the kid set up, here, where's your playmaker's going to be? All right, we done figured out all the coverages. So, point and shoot, my guy. And, man, he was lighting it up. So, I would give Tampa the puncher's chance if you could guarantee me they're going to run away with the division. I mean, like, 6-0, like, amazing record. Maybe you get Philly to come down to Tampa for the divisional round for the right to go to the championship game. Maybe I could see that. And again, Philly, we all kind of forget this in Kansas City. It's really hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls. You know, Philly will be on a longer runway than they were obviously last year and at this point this year. So maybe, okay, I've talked myself into it, Alex. It's possible. But you got to go. You got to dunk on the Saints. You got to dunk on the Falcons, which they did already. Poor coup. Dang it, man.
They brought in a new kicker.
I know.
He's always been my guy. He's been so clutch. Mm. How do you miss? It was a great weekend. It's just amazing.
I figured a great way to finish, Nate. Somebody's texting in at 114, 118, 121, 126, 139, 142, and 145.
Don't reward that behavior,
with one message, I'd like your only 30 seconds. That's all I am allowing you on this take.
Sure.
The exact same text that said, trade Rashee Rice for Hill.
No, stop. Stop it.
This person can't be serious.
Stop. Neither team would accept that trade. Financially, makes no sense.
I'm about to make sure you're like, don't need DUI. Are you sure?
No. You know, Tyreek has put himself in his own situation, which is unfortunate. And I could say that both on and off the field. For Rashee, like, again, he could be like, that's the other thing too. Like, we will get further. I want to take a deep breath, everybody. We will get further and further away from this game, and Rashee Rice and at least Hollywood Brown could be on the field in Week 7, and that game could look more and more and more of an outlier.
I think people are just terrified because 0-2 is a real possibility.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
And that's where I think people are used to that in Kansas City. It's been a while.
It's
been a bit. That's where I think the panic. If the Chiefs were playing, what Friday night happened, and I told you and everybody knew Friday night that they were playing the Saints on Sunday, it's a different feeling. But it's because people know they're playing a damn good football team that if the Chiefs would have looked great, people still would have been nervous about.
Correct.
And that's why I think people
We just watched them the night before win a game when Dak was awesome, and they won the game without their best defensive player because he didn't play.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say Jalen was great, but he was good enough, you know, and they got a loaded roster. And it's just nice to have A.J. Brown sitting in a parking lot and they still won. Yep. By the way, AJ Brown's on my fantasy team. That's where that's coming from.
No chance he's only getting one catch. My guess, if I can make a bet, the first three plays of the game, AJ Brown is getting a catch or at least a
target. You have to. Yeah, I mean, how do they go weeks after weeks? Like, and by the way, beating people, go weeks after weeks and be like, oh yeah, that's right, we have AJ Brown. How do you do this?
What took so long? I don't. Sirianni's weird. We did an entire ranking list. I ranked 1 through 32. We were mostly doing it for top 10, bottom 10. After I told Drew that I didn't think Sean McDermott was a top 10 NFL coach, and I thought he was more like 15th. And this is before the season. This is before.
There's a lot of evidence to suggest that Sean McDermott is not a top 10 coach.
He was 11th
for me.
Works against the Bills some of the time. Sometimes he's a double agent.
Yes, I think
trying to cost him games.
If people didn't love Josh Allen so much, they would have already cooked this man into another.
Yeah, Josh Allen's been just keeping him employed for this entire, and he's going to end up like 2 years from now if they don't win a Super Bowl. Fired, and he's going to be the head coach of some other team, and it's going to go horribly, and it'll all be proven right.
I know my friend Nick Wright has done this. Have you? I don't have the numbers in front of me. I should look them up. I can do that quickly. But Sean McDermott, are you an offensive guy or defensive guy?
I mean, I get offensive guy is what he's supposed to be, right?
No, he's supposed to be a defensive guy. Yeah, you're right. Remember, we got rid of Leslie Frazier.
Because we have you.
Yeah. You going to call the plays, huh? Okay. Hey, I know everybody has injuries. I know it's January. It's attrition. It sucks. Dog, every season in this Sean McDermott era has largely ended because the defense was horrible.
Was good in the regular season
and
real bad.
Horrible. Like, again, sometimes it's real simple, guys. The Chiefs go into a playoff game with Steve Spagnuolo.
They get better.
And the Buffalo Bills go into a playoff game with Sean McDermott. And I know someone going to clip this and put it in Buffalo. But guys, they gave up 40 points on Sunday. They're bad. And that's kind of what your coach is like. Your coach has to lean on something, right? If you're developing the quarterback, if you're a defensive guy, if you're an offensive genius,
or you're just Sirianni and you're the manager of the people and you don't do any of the.
Yeah, you don't do anything stupid. Hey, you know what I do? I'm not stupid. You know what? We got that push tush, run it every down. Like, let's treat it like high school. Like, why? I have better athletes than you, right? So that's where the Mike Tomlin kind of CEO essence comes from. Hey, I get my guys motivated. My guys are always on top of it. My guys are always ready to go. I mean, they gave up 32 points the year before that. They gave up 27 points 2022, 27 points 2021, 42 points 2020, 38 points 2019, 22 points in a loss. That was the first game with Josh Allen at quarterback in a playoff game.
So let that one go.
So just, you know, just
stop somebody.
Hey. You've done a great job. You've hired the right offensive coordinators. You've got the right pieces in place. Josh Allen's been incredible. We gave you Von Miller. Didn't change.
I said you can't have both the second best quarterback and let's just say that that's what you have, third, fourth, whatever. But second best quarterback, but have the, you know, but the coaching gap can't be that big.
Yeah.
That's how you lose in playoff. It's pretty simple for me. You lose in the playoffs because your coaching gap is far too big. Yep. Like in the Harbaugh era, the Ravens, their whole thing is just they blow big leads. Yeah. But at the least, the coaching gap is less big between Andy and Harbaugh.
Right. And again, Harbaugh has been to multiple championship games. He's obviously won a Super Bowl, of course. Has also, on a very similar path, hey, got a young quarterback, developed him, taught him along the way. Hey, he's now an MVP candidate. Their defense has been more reliable in postseason games. Part of their issue is, hey, it took us a little longer to get our quarterback up to speed to be excellent in the postseason because our style of play does not necessarily translate to the postseason as well for a number of reasons, because at some point you got to drop back when the other team knows you're dropping back and you got to deliver the ball on time. Now, part of that is they've only had Zay Flowers. They never had someone that Lamar could really like drop back. Mark Andrews at his prime was very good, but again,
I think Zay's good.
You're asking him to be like Travis Kelce. That's impossible. So part of it was, well, he didn't have anybody to like Justin Jefferson drop back and trust, but also your quarterback hasn't been comfortable with doing that when the season's on the line and everybody in the building knows third and seven and we're dropping back and make it happen, Captain. So it's, I mean, it's a, it's a great sport. It's only week one. I love the overreactions to a degree. I'm trying to provide sanity, ladies and gentlemen. It's 1 week. If they lose, if the Chiefs lose on Sunday, look at their roster, guys. Look at it. I just want to tell everybody in this town, go look at the Philadelphia Eagles roster. It's really good. And the question is, how much can you close the gap from February? So what's the easiest path to winning? Run the ball, play good defense, get a turnover in two, and let Mahomes be Mahomes in the fourth quarter. Don't get behind, though. Good God, don't get behind like they did in New Orleans.
Nate Taylor from ESPN. He joins us each and every Tuesday here on Cody and Gold, obviously throughout the week.
Woo-woo.
Here on 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, man. Glad you're back from Brazil.
Hallelujah.
Had his own personal driver in Brazil.
Yeah,
how
baby.
About that?
That's sick.
I mean, my goodness.
Thank you, Disney.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. The drive's up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.